Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning. We're going to go over some stuff that we maybe already know about, maybe should know about. If we don't know about, we're going to talk about. So this morning we're going to look at Bible baptism. And three things we're going to look at this morning is, must one be baptized to be saved? Is the action of baptism, sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? And lastly, what hinders you from being baptized? First, must one be baptized to be saved? If you would turn to Mark 16 and verse 16. Mark 16 and verse 16. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." If you would turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Must expresses compulsion, obligation, or certainty. Let's look at some examples. If you would turn to Acts. The Jews on Pentecost were baptized to be saved. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart." What did they hear? Well, back up to verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The people of Samaria were baptized to be saved. You would turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." And then verse 12. "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." And I want you to notice here that there were no infants baptized. The man of Ethiopia was baptized to be saved. While we're in Acts chapter 8, let's look at verses 35, 37, and 30. Actually, we'll start at verse 34, I believe. "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this?" And again, the eunuch was reading Isaiah. And the eunuch asked Philip, "I ask you, of who does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now we can see from these verses that preaching Jesus Christ to someone involves preaching them to be baptized, that they need to be baptized. How else would this man have known that he needed to be baptized? Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Saul was baptized to be saved. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Acts 9 and verse 6. "So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." If you'll hold your finger there at Acts chapter 9 and turn back to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Ananias says to Saul, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and he was baptized." Cornelius was baptized to be saved in Acts 10 and verse 48. Acts 10 and verse 48. "And when he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then they asked him to stay a few days." Excuse me. Lydia was baptized to be saved in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she constrained us." In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33, we find the Philippian jailer was baptized. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 30. "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and all your household.' And know this is not teaching faith only. If you will read just a little bit farther, 'Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized.'" In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Acts 18 and verse 8. We find that the Corinthians were baptized. "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all of his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." In Acts chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." This was the Ephesians, some of the Ephesians. The Bible clearly teaches that one must be baptized to be saved. Now that we know that we must be baptized to be saved, let us look at the word baptism. Is the action of baptism sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? Baptism means immersion. The word baptism, as used in the New Testament, means immersion, submersion, or emergence. Find the Dictionary of New Testament Words, page 96. Baptism demonstrated pictures of immersion. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Matthew 3 and verse 16. "Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." In order for Jesus to have come up out of the water, he must have gone down into the water. And thus he was immersed. We need to point out here that Christ had no sin. He was showing us the example of what we must do. If you would turn back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And again, we'll look at what the Ethiopian eunuch did. "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. They both went down into the water, and both came up out of the water. Now I ask you, can we go down into sprinkling or pouring? Or can we come up out of sprinkling or pouring? The answer to these questions should be clear. Baptism teaching features immersion. Let's take note of how Paul describes baptism. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And let's start at verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. Also Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now here in Romans 6 and verse 5, we also see that the Bible teaching of baptism also talks about a being united together, or as the King James Version says, planted together. And an example of this is when you plant a seed in the soil in your garden, do you just sprinkle a little dirt on it or just pour a little bit of dirt on it? Or do you bury it in the ground? Would you want a preacher who preaches sprinkling and pouring to, quote, baptize you, quote, unquote, baptize you? What about a farmer? Would you want a farmer to plant his crops in the ground, or do you want him just to go out there and throw the seeds on top of the earth and kind of just sprinkle a little bit of dirt over the top of them? The Bible clearly teaches that we must be buried and immersed in water to meet the blood of Christ and to have our sins washed away. Baptism requirements demand immersion. A requirement of Bible baptism is much water. And if you would turn to John chapter 3, John 3 and verse 23. Now John also was baptizing in Aemnon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Now the Jews in Israel, or Jerusalem, had water in the city. Why would they need to go someplace where they had much water? If they were just going to sprinkle somebody or pour water on somebody, there would be water in the city. And they wouldn't have to go where there is much water. Neither sprinkling or pouring demand much water. Therefore, sprinkling and pouring do not meet the requirements of Bible baptism, and do not meet the demands of the Lord. Commands of the Lord, excuse me. Also, there's not a single example anywhere in the New Testament where anyone under any circumstance ever had water sprinkled or poured over them for any purpose whatsoever. If so, where's the scripture? To have water sprinkled and poured over you is to just get wet. Then we ask the question, what hinders you from being baptized if you haven't been baptized already? Is it your family? Is it pride? Is it peer pressure? Maybe it's a wrong impression. What about family? Some hesitate being baptized because of family. They fear that by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ that they might somehow insult or offend family members who oppose the truth. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew 10, and we'll go ahead and start at verse 34. Matthew 10 and verse 34. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We can't let our family stand in the way of obeying the will of Jesus Christ and obeying the will of the Father. What about pride? Some hesitate being baptized because of pride. They're too arrogant to submit to such a humbling act. Let's look at what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty attitude, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Maybe it's peer pressure. Some hesitate being baptized because of peer pressure. They are too ashamed and embarrassed to obey the gospel of Christ. However, what did Jesus say? Let's look at Luke 9 and verse 26. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. Actually, let's back up and start at verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what advantage is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. We don't want to stand before the throne of God on the judgment day and have Jesus deny us, because the alternative of him accepting us, if he denies us before God on the judgment day, our sentence is going to be hell. And I think it'll be a much better place to be in heaven than to go to hell. Maybe it's wrong impressions. Some hesitate being baptized because of wrong impressions. They think that since God is loving and merciful, he will not hold them accountable for their disobedience. If you would turn to 2 Thessalonians, we'll see what Paul says about this. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 and starting at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Friends, we don't want to be without Jesus Christ, without God. We don't want to be lost to the fire of hell. You have the opportunity this morning to obey the will of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ commands us to be baptized. In Mark 16 and verse 16, he said, if you believe and you are baptized, you will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Matthew's account records Jesus as saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19. There would be no way that any honest person could read these words of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and not understand that he commands us to be baptized to be saved. The apostles taught baptism when the apostles taught baptism to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2 and verse 37. And Peter answered and said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Baptism was taught in every case of New Testament conversion from Acts chapter 2 on. Although all through Acts we find men and women, not infants, hearing, believing, repenting of their sins and confessing their faith in Christ and being buried with him in baptism. If you've not obeyed the command to be baptized and you wish to do that this morning, we can help you. We want you to go to heaven. We don't want you to go to hell. The water's ready. If you're ready, we encourage you to come forward this morning. If you've already obeyed the gospel and the will of God, and for some reason in your life you've fallen away or you have a request for the congregation, we encourage you to come forward. If now is not the time, maybe later on today, maybe later on this week, if God allows us that much time, you might decide you want to be baptized. I'm sure there are several of us here who'd be glad to come down to the building any time, night or day, and baptize you and help you meet the blood of Christ and have your sins washed away. I can't stress to you how urgent it is for you to be baptized. We're not guaranteed another minute here on this earth. We could die in a car wreck. We could have a heart attack. The Lord Jesus could come back. And it's all over. We aren't going to have any more time. If we can do anything for you this morning, we encourage you to stand as we sing the song.